Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we'll welcome you back on the John Chuckery Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and our radio.com app. Download that to catch us anywhere on the go in these crazy changing times out there. You can put that on whatever device that you have, you know, your phone, your tablet, your smart speakers, your boombox, turntable, whatever you got for a device. Download the radio.com app to make sure that you catch us on the go. Don't forget to follow us on social media to keep up with all the happenings of the station. It's at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Give me a follow on Twitter. It is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. All your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. Jarvis is back at the ranch. He is producing the show tonight. Follow him on Twitter at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. And we are coming to you from, as Howard Finkel would say, parts unknown tonight. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And this is our nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So it's obviously been a very busy time, even just since last we spoke, when the Atlanta Falcons had gotten their hands on Dante Fowler and Todd Gurley. Moves continue to be added for the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the Laquon Treadwell signing. We know former first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings really hasn't played up to his potential. It just really hasn't worked in Minnesota. As Stephon Diggs and Thielen have been two of the best wide receivers in the NFL and one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL, and Treadwell kind of on that outside looking in. And we talked a little bit about at the start of the show about how he fits in. You know, if you remember his time at Ole Miss, you know, his speed, size, power, you know, he had the physical gifts and tools to be a great NFL wide receiver. For whatever reason, it hasn't quite worked out. But you talk about a guy that if you can get down the red zone, and maybe you talk about a guy who can run that jet sweep, or you can throw those bubble screens, and he can use that size and speed and power. You know, that's some of the things that they did at Ole Miss to get him involved, you know. And not to mention the fact with two great wide receivers around him in Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, you know, you can do a lot of things in the vertical passing game with Laquon Treadwell, that maybe, you know, he can use that size and speed and go up and, you know, get up against some of these smaller corners that he may line up against, because obviously you got a lot of guys that have to cover, you know, three guys to cover those other two that's out there. That gives Treadwell a chance to get some one-on-one matchups out on the outside with them and use that size and that speed. So should be fascinating. I mean, look, they're going to roll the dice, and you know, we talked a bit earlier, and we'll talk about it again a little bit later, but, you know, getting back to the blueprint of 2016, that you can't have enough weapons on the field when all is said and done. So I like the Treadwell signing. I think it's a good move thus far. So really haven't been disappointed much of anything that the Falcons have done here in the offseason. Also, too, the Falcons have re-signed cornerback Bleedy Ray Wilson. You know, one of those guys, we've joked about some of these guys over the year, Brian Poole, guys like that, that when you, even, you know, guys like Ricardo Allen, overachievers, or when you look up the definition of what is a Dan Quinn player, guys like Bleedy Ray Wilson are that. And obviously this team needs as much help at corner as it can. I'm still of the belief, and I'm going to say it as we are literally 1 month away from the draft as of tonight, I do think corner is going to be the pick when all is said and done. Maybe it's the kid out of LSU. Maybe it's C.J. Henderson out of Florida. But I am still of the belief that when all is said and done, that the pick is going to be cornerback, because I don't think that they have two starters right now. I don't think with Oliver and Sheffield that you feel 100% confident that those two guys can be starters for this team. Also, too, to give them some depth, remember, no more Wes Schweitzer, no more Tyson Breo. Those guys are gone. I still can't believe the deal that Wes Schweitzer got. I have no idea what the Washington Redskins looked at in Wes Schweitzer and said, that guy should get $13 million in a multi-year deal. It boggles my mind how teams evaluate the other players. And this is like one of those things where we watch every single day and week guys like Wes Schweitzer perform, and you look at it and say, yeah, that guy can't play. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, yeah, we love to have him, and we'll pay him a lot of money, and he can be a part of it. I just shake my head. I'm like, okay. We watch this guy all the time, and just you shake your head and say, this guy really can't play. But also, the Falcons have signed offensive lineman Justin McCray. So last year, he played 15 games for the Browns. He did make 4 starts last year, 1 game at right tackle, 2 at left tackle, and then 1 as an additional offensive lineman. So, look, he's only 27 years old. He's been in 40 games. He's had 17 starts. Again, one of those rotational guys. Is he competing for the starting left guard spot? I don't think so. I don't believe that he's competing for that spot at all. I do believe between Gano and between Carpenter and between Brown, one of those guys is going to be it. And what's very interesting, without looking at any dead cap numbers, I don't know what the dead money that you're talking about, but you wonder if Brown or Carpenter, if one of those guys is not the starter, will they keep all of those guys in place? Or will they try to make a, you know, maybe make a cut and move on? I think the stat that I saw for the Falcons was that they are fifth in fewest available dollars or lowest amount of available cap space. Now, they've got like $14 to $15 million available, which may sound like a lot, but that's not really a whole lot when you think about it. You got to factor in your draft signings to all of that. So I want to say that that's going to eat up, what, maybe $5 or $6 million when all is said and done for your draft picks out of all of it. So, you know, when you start to do it that way. Now, they don't have a lot of money for now. That money will jump up as they get to June 2nd and the Desmond Trufant money starts to become available. Then they'll have some money. Now, how do they create more money? How have they created cap space and all that good kind of stuff? What did we say a week or 2 weeks ago? If you want to find cap space, you can always find it. How they do it? Restructure contracts. Jake Matthews got some restructuring. Matt Ryan got some restructuring. Alan Bailey, of all people, got some restructuring out of all of it. It's just what you do in the NFL. Obviously, the only scary part about that when you start talking about restructuring contracts is, you know, you try to get in there to where you can lower the cap number of guys to get more available money, but, you know, that money starts to accrue on the back end of contracts. So more of it becomes signing bonuses and this, that, and the other. So it is kicking the can down the road. It's some of the things that the New Orleans Saints have done over the last few years as far as how you handle stars and your star contracts and things like that. Kick the can down the road. You can do that for a while, but there does come a point where it does start to catch up to you. But look, let's face it. The future's now. Can't worry about what's going to happen with the salary cap in 1 or 2 or 3 years. You got to win now. You got to figure out now. You know, obviously next year, you're probably not going to have Todd Gurley. Unless he just really decides he loves Atlanta and wants to stay here and they can really work out a team-friendly deal. But certainly I think he's trying to get back into one last good-sized contract, especially at the running back position. I mean, you get 5-6 years into your NFL career as a running back, you can already sense the writing on the wall that my best years are becoming behind me. So you know at that point that you better collect all the money that you can. Look, he got a big payday. He got, what, $60 million. So, but there's a definite chance that he's not going to be here. So you don't have a lot of risk with some of these contracts that the Falcons have gotten into. And even Dante Fowler, you know, that's one of those deals where it reads 3 for $48 million, but the reality is that you probably get 2 years out of Dante Fowler. And if he does play that third year, he probably gets an extension and money moved around. You know, that'll be another one of those contracts that if he really does stay here for the whole duration of it, they'll move money around on it. It won't be 3 at $48 million and things like that. They'll add another year or two on his contract and spread it all out. But again, you know, if you don't win now, that will be the next regime that will have to worry about that and think about that. that will be the next general manager slash head coach that worries and thinks about that, not anybody else. And I'm okay with that because, you know, if we said ad nauseum on this program, it is Super Bowl or bust time. And in some ways, does it at least look like that's what the Falcons are doing? Does it kind of feel like that's where the Falcons are maneuvering themselves to, is let's roll the dice on some players that are maybe high risk, high reward? You know, Todd Gurley's a potential high reward with definite risk. Maybe Gurley's a 15-game, 16-game player. Maybe Todd Gurley's a 7- or 8-game player. Laquon Treadwell's a guy who hasn't quite figured it out. Maybe he's a 35-catch guy. Maybe he's a 55-catch guy. You know, Hayden Hurst has been a guy left out of the mix in Baltimore because they have two very good tight ends that have overtaken him, even though he's a first-round pick. They've had not one but two guys that have moved ahead of him. Maybe he's a guy that thrives and flourishes, or is he a guy that can't find his way? So, you know, you roll that dice and take those chances, because if you can capture the talent of Todd Gurley, if you can capture the talent of Laquon Treadwell, you know, if you can capture the talent of Dante Fowler. You know, Fowler's one of those guys that does his numbers get reflected? You know, we'll know at the end of the year, was it reflected because, well, he played against Aaron Donald, or did he have really one of those kinds of seasons? And I still hope that if the Falcons are in the free agent business still, boy, I'd love to have one more roll of the dice and see if they can go get Clay Matthews. That's still, if you're asking me number one targets in free agency, I'd love to see if they can get a one-year show-me kind of deal with Clay Matthews, who obviously doesn't have a ton of tread left on the tire, but give me a year of Clay Matthews, maybe hungry, playing for a winner, trying to get that Super Bowl. I mean, just let me roll the dice with a guy like that. A guy who can do a lot of different things. And another one of those guys that you talk about, veteran leadership and locker room guy and things like that. Obviously add some color and some personality to the locker room. I mean, he is obviously a bit of a character. You know, he's got his cousin playing here. His dad finished his career here. A lot of reasons for him maybe to want to come. And certainly it's a position of need for the Atlanta Falcons, because when we start talking about what's left to fill, they need a starting corner somewhere. They need one or two starting linebackers somewhere. I think they'll figure out guard in house. Defensive tackle, you know, an upgrade, hopefully, at starter over Tyler Davison. Hopefully a guy who can be an upgrade over that. Maybe that's a Derek Brown if they decide to roll the dice and go for it. Or, I don't know, maybe they draft somebody in a mid-round and try to catch it from there. So, but if there's one free agent signing that they have left, I would love to make it Clay Matthews at this point. I think that's what they need the most. All right, when we get back, it's going to be That's Life. I'm enjoying these gas prices, and we've got a new stock to talk about as well. Be coming up next, John Chuckery, coming to you from parts unknown tonight, hanging out with you on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back on the John Chuckery Show. 9:22 on a Monday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to be a part of the show, don't forget the radio.com app is a great way now to listen to us. As we know, you're not spending nearly the kind of time in the car that you used to. Download your radio.com app on all your smart devices, on your smart speakers. That way you can catch us on the go and yell at Alexa to go ahead and play us all the time. Follow us on social media. The station's at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Give me a follow on Twitter. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Jarvis is producing back at the ranch at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So a few things to get into tonight on That's Life. You know, I tweeted out a picture over the weekend. So when we were making our rounds in Cherokee County, trying to find some, you know, something that was open to get something to eat, the one Kroger out on Highway 140 had gas down to $1.79, And I had my Kroger card and had a 20-cent off on the thing and dropped it down to $1.59. I tweeted out a picture. Man, I'm loving these gas prices. And I know several of you tweeted me some pictures of your gas prices at JMCH316. You know, places that were offering $1.59, $1.49. I know one guy had a Kroger coupon that knocked a bunch of cents off, and it was like $1.09. So I still say that the craziest thing out of all of this is the fact that gas has stayed so low. I mean, truthfully, anytime we get into any sort of crisis whatsoever, especially across the world, anytime, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, the speculators always try to figure out a way to manipulate the price of oil and gas futures and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's such a rigged game when you talk about, you know, how gas prices get set. You know, it's just all the there's so many different things that go into it, and it's such a, you know, three card Monty about how it is. I mean, there's no reason why in the United States of America we should be even paying $2 a gallon for gasoline with all the oil and everything readily available here in this country and the reserves and everything like that. There's just no reason for us to be beholden to anybody and to pay the kind of gas prices that we do at times. So it's amazing to think, and it's not, trust me, it's not because people aren't driving and things like that. Anytime you have a crisis of things going on, they always find a way to jack up oil prices or jack up the price of gasoline. You know, it's always funny how gasoline can go up 20 cents overnight, but it'll take, you know, 5 weeks for it to drop that same 20 cents. So it's all a rigged game out there, but I'm loving it. No question about it that, listen, for folks right now that are scratching claw and trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to pay bills, how they're going to pay rent, not working and stuff like that, at least trying to buy gas right now is, you know, at a real low. I personally can't remember the last time. I know two Christmases ago, I paid $1.88 on Christmas Day, because I remember tweeting out a picture. That would have been, Christmas Day of 2018 that I paid $1.88, because we went down to Florida for that Christmas. And I paid $1.88 at a Kroger gas station then. So I can't remember the last time that I could get gas for, you know, barely $1.50 or anything like that. And there are some reports saying that gas might even go lower, that potentially that gas prices aren't done falling yet, that they could still go even a little bit lower. That would be amazing. I mean, imagine paying like, I don't know, $1.25 for gas. I mean, that feels like mid-90s all over again. There's a funny scene when you look in Die Hard, the original Die Hard movie, and there's like a picture of a gas station, like a, I don't know, it's like a Chevron or something like that, and you see gas at like 80 cents a gallon or something like that, and that's out in California. So imagine what it was on the East Coast back then. But I'm loving it. I know people are taking advantage of it. I mean, you know, and I'm surprised that the lines haven't been longer. I'm surprised that there hasn't been, anytime you get into a crisis mode, people load up. I mean, listen, I went to the stores over the weekend. I went to Publix, to the Publix I always go to off Rucker Road, and we went to Walmart over in Woodstock. I was amazed at still how empty those places were. I've never seen that Publix that empty before. I mean, they had no meat. I mean, literally no meat whatsoever. A few random scatter packages of chicken. No beef, no pork. Completely out of meat. They had some water, but they didn't have jugs of water. It was like those larger size, like spring water bottles. I buy that. That's what I buy anyway. But they were limited on water. Obviously, no paper products like toilet paper or anything like that. No cleaning stuff. And everybody's got plenty of laundry detergent and stuff, but no cleaning stuff. No, very little, what do you want to say, like non-perishable food, like ramen noodles and stuff like that. I mean, and no bread. They were cleaned out at Publix. And I know, listen, the good folks at these stores are shutting down early, opening a little bit later, allowing seniors to come in at the very start, trying to restock. It's not a matter of that they're not doing their job to try to restock. Trust me, every time I go to the grocery store, they got multiples of people loading up shelves and things like that. It's just that people are buying it at such a fast rate. And then we went to Walmart, and again, they had no meat whatsoever. I've never seen Walmart look like that in the, at least in the grocery section of their store. It was absolutely amazing how cleaned out they were on bread, meat, even fruits and vegetables were going pretty quickly. They were trying to literally restock them as people were buying them out. They had like three people that were over there just trying to restock as people are grabbing things left and right. But it's amazing. I mean, you can't find cleaning products. And you know, I don't know when, I don't know what Clorox is, you know, has said as far as when they're going to get stuff like that back. But I can't even imagine, like, if somebody puts a bottle of those, a roll of those disinfectant wipes on a shelf right now, I can't even imagine what you could get for something like that right now. It's crazy to think about. Some places do have them. I mean, we've got them at our work office, and our station in the studio has all of that there. So, but I was amazed at how cleaned out Publix and Walmart was over the weekend. Also, too, so I found a new stock under the symbol AMD. You know, I've been kind of messing around and playing around with the stock market here. I've taken some additional cash that I had available and trying to buy stock right now. Great time if you're interested in getting into the market. Listen, I'll be the first guy to tell you, I don't know anything about it. I have no clue. I'm trying to read and learn. I don't know how all these different things work, but I've bought stuff in Delta, bought WWE, I've bought some penny stocks. But I found a new company, Advanced Micro Devices, AMD. I got it for under $40 a share today, and it actually finished 5.12% higher today. They deal in like all kinds of video and audio, digital stuff. I can't even begin to tell you how all that stuff works and what it is and everything like that. But as people are going to these, you know, telemeetings and, you know, not commuting, and they're doing things, you know, over digital platforms and all that kind of stuff now, there's a lot of decent stocks to be had out of all of that. And like I said, just even today on the return was over 5% today on its return. So there's my stock tip for the day, if you will. The AMD is the symbol, Advanced, excuse me, Micro Devices for all of that. And also, too, I know a lot of you folks are like me. You're trying to figure out how to get all of these lessons done with your kids. You know, this has been one of the harder things, as figuring out all these different things that these kids have to get into, like Canvas and iReady and their lessons and announcements and all these different things that they have to figure out, man. I mean, God bless teachers that they can figure all this stuff out. Now, obviously, you know, they have the setup and they have all the network connections and everything that they need that, excuse me, everything is tied right in and, you know, obviously all the tools and everything that they need. But I can tell you, this has not been an easy task to keep your kid focused and you know, get all these lessons done and not get behind and still do good on all of them. So God bless our teachers. I mean, especially when you're teaching a group of young kids. You know, my daughter is in the fifth grade, so, you know, she's in her final year of elementary school. But even that group, I mean, even her lack of focus and things like that, because I keep having to harp on the idea of this is not vacation. You know, you're responsible for schoolwork and things like that, and you don't want to screw up anything as far as, you know, moving ahead to the next grade or anything like that. So God bless the teachers. Also, God bless the parents like us that are trying to figure out how to edumacate and teach these kids, because I've got no idea. I'm honestly, if my daughter didn't know how to get onto this Canvas and iLearn and understand all that, I'd be of zero help to her. I mean, I'll help her with the actual lesson part of it. Like if she's got questions about whatever it is, social studies, she had a question about the Korean War, some questions about sorting some things in alphabetical order and stuff like that. I can handle that part of it. But there's no way on this earth that I could help her figure out how to log into all of this stuff. It was worth the money to go spend $325 to go get one of those Chromebooks, even though I didn't really quite want to spend that kind of money, but, you know, didn't really have a choice. But she's able to figure it out and everything like that. So God bless all us working parents out there that are trying to get their kids educated, and God bless all the teachers that are out there as well. It's not an easy thing. And like I said, if it was up to me, I wouldn't even be able to get her logged in. She'd be looking at a blank screen, you know, and I'd be like trying to sort all this kind of stuff out and the right application of Google and, Yeah, not for me. Education was a lot simpler back in the old days, man. We just like carried around textbooks, right? That's what we did. I mean, we had a book bag full of books. We didn't have like when I. It wasn't until I think I was in the eighth grade before we actually had computers, and all we had was like Texas Instrument DOS computers that were out there. I mean, we literally just didn't have anything else to be able to have out there. So I remember those days, but you know, by and large, it was all textbooks and workbooks, and yeah, you had like, you would go from class to class, and you literally would have like four or five textbooks that you're carrying around because you didn't have enough time to get to your locker. Like, you know, if your classes were like on the other side of the world where your locker was, you literally would have like four or five textbooks piled up that you're carrying around, plus all your folders and everything else. Now that's old school learning right there, is have the brown paper wrapping around everything and have to learn the old-fashioned way. So God bless you teachers. God bless the parents out there getting these kids educated. All right, when we get back, the morning show had a chance to catch up with draft expert from USA Today, Nate Davis. We'll hear what he has to say, and we'll hear what his thoughts were about the Falcons in the draft. It's all coming up next. John Chuckery here, live on the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you live tonight from parts unknown, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Follow us on Twitter at JMCH316. He's back at the ranch producing everything at JarvisD90. And also get your radio.com app. Download that. That way you catch us on the go at all the time. When you're not in the car, you can always listen to what we have going on. So USA Today draft expert Nate Davis had a chance to catch up with the morning show guys, and of course lots of things going on around the Falcons, and the guy started off by asking him, where do you think the Falcons go now that they've made all these offseason moves?
I guess I hadn't given that particular aspect too much thought, but you know, I'm thinking maybe they're looking more secondary, specifically corner at this point. I mean, I guess you can count on Isaiah Oliver, but otherwise, especially in a league or a division where you're going to see Drew Brees and Tom Brady and, you know, Teddy, I mean, at least those two guys, we'll see how Teddy Bridgewater does, but I would think you probably want to get another, at least one corner, probably two. So I think maybe that would be an area they would look at, maybe defensive line, but I think maybe at this point right now that's where the Falcons might be looking.
Talking with Nate Davis, USA Today NFL and NFL draft analyst on the WaveFord.com hotline. So let's go to some of the free agent moves here, if you can. Just start locally with us here in Atlanta, Nate. What do you make of what the Falcons did in bringing in Todd Gurley, Hayden Hurst, Dante Fowler Jr., and Laquon Treadwell? What do you make of that as a group?
Mixed bag, I think. I mean, kind of one of those, you know, if you put it in the draft terms, high ceiling, low floor kind of thing. You know, if you get a better version of Todd Gurley than you did last year for $5 million, certainly, you know, I've got friends down there in Atlanta. I know that he is still a huge fan favorite, Todd Gurley, for the locals. I mean, I think that could be a big win for the team, a big win for the fan base. But, you know, again, you know, what kind of player are you getting? How healthy is the knee, and you know, is it two down back, is it three down back, that kind of thing. I thought Hayden Hurst, you know, I'm talking to you from Washington, D.C., I thought that was a very nice move. I mean, I think he's you know, potentially, you know, a better version of Austin Hooper. I don't think he fit very well in Baltimore because he's not a great run blocker, but he is a very good receiver. And, you know, talking to some guys in the scouting combine, you know, Hayden Hurst's name randomly came up from SEC linebackers and corners, who's still talking about he was one of the best, you know, receiving players that they ever faced. So I think he's a good player. And then, you know, Dante Fowler, you know, we'll see. Coming off a really good year with the Rams, but he was kind of playing for a contract kind of the last 2 years. I believe he was on a one-year contract last year. So we'll kind of see, you know, is he at a point now where he's going to sustain that success? Or you know, now that he's got in the bag, you know, is he a guy that's still going to produce for you after kind of, you know, up and down career so far? And Laquon Treadwell, you know, low risk signing, you know, guy hasn't done much as first round pick in his career. You know, we'll see if he can, you know, be a capable number three for Atlanta, but I wouldn't count a whole lot on him.
We're talking to Nate Davis, USA Today NFL and NFL draft analyst on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, Nate, we've been speculating about this a lot with the moves that the Atlanta Falcons have made, and I want to see if you're with me on this. Do you think that they could potentially make a big move and move all the way up to number two to get Chase Young?
I guess we've seen Thomas Dimitroff do that before with the Julio Jones thing, you know, going from, what was it, 27 to 6. But that's really, I don't know, Hugh. I think that might be
too much pie in the sky. Too much.
It's really hard to get up that high to number two from where they are. And I guess the only thing that you would say is are Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn really, you know, that much in gopher broke mode that they've got to do it this year. But I think they've been pretty good caretakers for Mr. Blank, and I just don't know. I guess the case you make is you know, Julio Jones isn't getting any younger, Matt Ryan isn't getting any younger. We do have a pretty good team here. You know, we saw the second half of last season, but if you're going from 16 to 2, you're talking about giving up, you know, 3 or 4 first round picks and then maybe a little extra. So I think that's just really expensive for them.
We're talking with Nate Davis of USA Today, NFL draft analyst. So what big changes? Free agency rocked the NFL. We've never seen a year like this, Nate, ever. This really kind of rocked the draft too in terms of, do you see now the potential for more maneuvering in the draft than we've seen in quite some time now that teams have filled needs or lost players, or, you know, we've had such a seismic change in free agency?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm curious how different the draft, you know, going to be. I mean, it's going to roll Roger Goodell out there with some beer and some pizza and present it, you know, like a fantasy football draft. I mean, it's just moving players around, but you know, it is going to be different to your point, just because, you know, I really feel like a lot of these players, guys that would normally didn't go to the scouting combine, even guys that were at the combine, you know, including a lot of players that, you know, probably people in your section of the country know, you know, none of those LSU players really, or most of them didn't work out at the combine because they were all coming off the national championship game like a month prior. And a lot of these guys had been working up to kind of a pro day, and particularly guys like, coming to mind is LSU safety Grant Delpit, you know, certainly Tua. It's going to be hard for these teams to know, like, what are we getting if we draft one of these guys that we don't have a clean medical on, that we didn't really see work out at the combine, that we've got questions about based on how they played last season because of some issue. So to that end, maybe this can feed Hugh's theory about Chase Young a little more, but you know, you do wonder, are teams maybe going to be a little bit more willing to do trades, to trade up for guys that are quote-unquote known commodities? Because I think you are going to have less of that factor this year, just because there are probably going to be a lot of unanswered questions about a lot of guys. So will teams trade up for guys they know, or will they maybe trade picks this year for picks next year when you know, theoretically, they'll be able to do all their homework? So from that vantage point, I think teams may go for more reliable or quote unquote safe players as opposed to ones they really haven't had time to bring into their building, interview, poke and prod, that kind of stuff.
Talking with Nate Davis, yeah, because there are half a dozen teams that don't even have a first round pick this year. And so we'll see what, at least at the moment, we'll see what that does a month from today. And so, yeah, because there's no way to go out there and analyze guys between now and then. And it is going to be fascinating. So what do you see here, some of the free agents? Hugh and I were talking about this earlier. Ndamukong Suh, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney. Are we seeing any movement towards any of those players?
It seems pretty quiet, you know, right now. I think we're at a point, too. You know, let's take Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, I think he's clearly the best guy left out there, you know. Reports are that he wants, you know, $20 million a year, and he's not really seeing that. But I think, you know, he's another guy. You know, he's had microfracture surgery in the past. You know, he's had other, you know, cleanups on his knee, that kind of thing. And then he's coming off the core muscle injury at the end of last season that he played through. I mean, he played both playoff games. I believe he missed a game at the end of the regular season. But, you know, he is a guy that if you're a team and, you know, he's asking you for $20 million, any team that wants to do due diligence is going to want to bring him in for a physical and be like, you know, well, you know, maybe we could talk about $20 million, JD, but, you know, not until we kind of see what states you are, because given your injury history and other things. So I think he might be one of those guys that just may sit out there for a while unless somebody blows him away. But I think that may be one where we wait. And other guys, you know, Sue is a guy who's kind of lost a couple of years. You know, I think he's 33. And I think he's one of those cagey guys. It's like, you know, I don't need to sign right now. I'd rather miss OTAs and minicamp and all that, and I'll sign sometime in June or July when all that stuff's over. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if he goes back to the Bucks. I mean, I remember talking to him after the Rams won the NFC Championship game in New Orleans, and I mean, for all we've seen over Ndamukong Suh over the years, that guy really wants to win a ring. So I think he's going to go somewhere that, you know, a team is looking for one or two more pieces, and then he probably will play for a little less than he could normally get. But I think he's going to go somewhere like the Bucks or just a team that needs a D lineman and wait it out, kind of see what his best options are for chasing the championship.
We're talking to Nate Davis, USA Today, NFL and NFL draft analyst on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, Nate, how have you been occupying your time during this social distancing time? And what is the go-to item that you have to have from the grocery store since you're going to be sitting at home for a while?
Well, as you guys know, I mean, we've been going off a pretty busy week here, so I think I'll be more looking for the Netflix, and you know, I just bought Disney Plus yesterday. I think I'll be looking to do some of the new Star Wars stuff today. But we've made sure we're stocked up on ice cream and coffee, so we'll see if that gets us through. But that's kind of been the quote unquote strategy so far. But I may be refining that this week as we go.
Nate, might I make a suggestion of a show to watch on Netflix? We were talking about it this morning, Tiger King. It's
Tiger
really
King.
Yes. It's about these three people that had from like one from Oklahoma, one's from Tampa, and somebody's from South Carolina. They're all like they raise tigers, but it's so much deeper than that. It's like an onion. It has so many different layers. Check it out. You're gonna thank me for this.
Is this like two or three seasons, or is this like
it's like one season. One season.
Okay, I'm looking for small things like that. Hugh, I did get through McMillions on HBO.
That was pretty good too.
I've seen both, and I think Tiger King's better.
Tiger King, you're gonna watch it, and you're gonna look at me and say, "What the hell did Hugh have? Does Hugh have me watching?" But it's really good. It's really good. I'm telling you, it's really really good.
Okay, well, as a kid who grew up a Jets fan, Hugh, I'm gonna say I'm counting on you. You haven't let me down before, so
I won't. I got you. This is going to be a good one. You're going to thank me for this one. Trust me. Trust me.
Okay, appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a good one.
Thanks, Nate.
Okay, thanks.